What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Beck Antonucci. Well, as you all know, I am in Austin, Texas, and I have just completed 3 days of in-person somatic training and facilitator training with Alexi Panos and Preston Smiles. And I, you know how I'm here for you and we really go into it and I can blow a firecracker up your butt sometimes and it's hard and confronting and challenging and all the things. I had my Beck Antonucci asshole absolutely handed to me and oh my goodness, it is so transformative. I know this is going to be transformative for my business, but first and foremost, this past 3 days of training has been so incredibly transformative for myself. Beyond that, at the end of my time in Bali, I was really craving, and I know I've said this to you in the past, I was really craving love and community. And a lot of my girlfriends had left Bali. I hadn't seen my family in so long, and I was really desiring nurturance and love and to be held and to be held by people that I really so intimately know on deep and personal levels. So to be in community with the people who really see me, understand me, get me, hear me, it's just been, it reminds me of my value for community and how much I thrive being around such like-minded people. It's kind of when my clients start asking me, how do I find my purpose? I tell everyone to get into personal development. I'm like, that's where I found all of my soul community. And that's where I really believe that if you're feeling, not even the word lost, but if you're feeling like there's something more for you to get out of life, something more for you to explore in life, that perhaps an avenue that you haven't looked down yet might be the path that brings you the most fulfillment if you're willing to take your first step. Today's episode is an incredible guest episode with Amy Rushworth. I have had her on the show before. She has come and moved to Bali. We reconnected as girlfriends, met up for a dinner, and I just love her. I love being in her presence. I know Sarah Scully Leaf actually affirmed me on one of our podcasts and said how expanding I am for her. Amy is so incredibly expanding for me. It has been so beautiful to be in her presence. And I love her concepts, her perceptions, her views on life. Going for dinner with her was so engaging. I'm so grateful to have this beautiful female friend here with me. And I thought I'd love to bring her back to the show specifically because I really love and value my deep relationship with God. My relationship with God brings me a lot of peace, particularly not only in my painful moments. When I'm in my good moments, I'm like, God, I love you. Thank you for my family. Thank you for Kobe. Thank you for the health of my family. Thank you for the people who love me. Thank you for my business, my soul community, my aligned clients. But also when I'm in my pain, God brings me so much, not contentment, but just a knowing that I'm okay. Even when there's so much fear that potentially I'm not, God brings me comfort. And I have seen Amy create so many beautiful things for herself, for her life, her own transformations internally, externally. And she speaks about God online a lot. And I just had this intuitive hit of, why don't you ask Amy to come back on the show and really explore her own relationship with God and how women can start to connect to that for themselves so that they feel really supported in their own lives to be able to access a power they haven't yet given themselves permission to actually even explore because potentially it is clouded with our judgments around religion or any other person's thoughts and fears of what the word God actually stands for. So if you're a woman really desiring to connect more deeply with yourself and with life, I really believe that this podcast is for you. If you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag both myself and Amy because we would absolutely love to connect with you. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of an episode. Let's fucking go. I am sitting here in person with someone that I have sat with on Zoom before, but now we've got her back to the podcast, Amy Rushworth, in Bali, in person. Welcome back to Raw, Real and Vulnerable.
Thanks for having me. Round two.
Round two. Yeah, I love round twos. You know this, Amy?
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like ours will be beautiful and powerful and deep. And I know the listeners already know who you are, but for anyone new that hasn't listened to your original episode with me, who is Amy Rushworth and what is it that you do in the world?
I'm a Leo, dressing the part today. I am a transformational mentor, a healing facilitator, breathwork facilitator, a sexual wellness educator. I'm a projector in human design, so I love to like train in all the different modalities and weave them together. But my main passion is helping to activate the unapologetic woman within so that you can really come alive in your life, come alive in your pleasure, your power, your relationships, and not give your energy to patterns that don't serve you, to people that don't serve you, basically so you don't waste your life living a life that isn't true to you.
Yes. And obviously that's why I love you so much.
Obviously that's why we get along.
This is why you're my new Bali BFF. And I really wanted to connect with you for this second podcast because obviously we went for dinner and you shared that beautiful story about the frog on your head that can we go there today? And also you speak about God so much on your Instagram and I do as well. But whenever I say it, I always get my inbox flooded with DMs that say, are you religious? And so I really just wanted to go deep today on your relationship with your own God, your relationship with yourself and your relationship with intuition so that women can start to feel maybe more connected with themselves to live this authentic, unapologetic life.
Yeah. Where should we start?
Well, can you share with us what your relationship with God is and even your definition of what God is?
I was thinking about this on the bike on the way over here, you know, wind in the face and the hair, and I just find God in like these small moments of adventure, joy, peace, people that I meet, even also in pain. Like something I was thinking about today was how when you feel really alone and in pain, like usually God is really close by. And for me personally, like that's where I've really rekindled and continued to find that relationship when I'm in those moments of feeling really alone and realizing like I'm never alone, actually. You know, there's always something there to support me, but I have to reach out and connect with that source of energy. And then in terms of like religion, I mean, it's so funny that people ask if you're like religious.
Every time. Are you religious?
Yeah.
You talk about God a lot. Are you religious? I'm connected to you. I really like what you say, but when you say the word God, it kind of throws me off because I am not religious. And it's really made me question myself. I'm like, should I just write universe so that everyone feels like okay about the word God? And I was like, fuck no, because for me, that feels like almost a disrespect to the power of the word.
Yeah.
But I know that for some people, it can be very jarring.
Yeah. I think that word has so much meaning and conditioning and preconception associated with it. Like a lot of people have their own trauma, religious trauma, conditioning experiences. And a lot of the women that I work with, particularly in my work around sexual healing, come to me having, you know, a lot of trauma from the church or from their religious upbringing. Yeah. And so for me, I've never really resonated with defining my relationship with God inside of the Institute of Religion because I just see so much in my work. I see so much harm that's been done, even though like I respect my friends and my peers who are Christians, they go to church. Mm-hmm. I think it's up to each person to find like their own unique relationship with God. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's not inside of the church. It's not a religious God. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, just the relationship that I have with a higher power. Yeah. And like, there is some cool stuff in the Bible and there's also some stuff that I don't agree with, but I really just think for me and a lot of the women I work with, having, you know, a box or a label around that relationship is not empowering.
Yes. I mean, for me, if I was to give God a definition, it's the power outside of me that reminds me of the power within me.
Ooh, yeah.
And it makes me feel really not alone in my hardest, most challenging moments. That's when I will go into prayer and pray. If I'm lying in my bed and being like, oh my God, like I had a challenging week I was sharing with you before. That's when I'm lying in bed. I'm just praying to God in affirming ways. And it reminds me that I'm really not alone and I'm supported and I'm okay and I'm loved and I'm safe. And I love that. And so I'm curious for you, have you always had this deep and meaningful and powerful connection with God?
It's been this journey and I feel like I'm always still riding different corners and mountains and valleys in that journey. So I was christened when I was a kid.
Yes.
My grandma is really like diehard Catholic, like cries on Easter because Jesus died.
Okay.
And then I went to a religious school as well, where there was like a lot of rules and we had to go to church and, you know, study the Bible and sing hymns and stuff. But I never really felt connected to that. I was like, I just have to do this because I'm in this school, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I always had like this undercurrent with God, though, where I would like pray when I was a little girl in bed, mm-hmm. not like how the church would instruct you to, but I would just be talking to someone in the mm-hmm. sky, you know, asking for things, mm-hmm. you know, asking for my needs to be met. Mm. And then I think as I became like a young woman, I really lost that. But where I found that relationship again was when I was in my rock bottom mm-hmm. and I was like on my knees physically and metaphorically, like asking, please help me,
yes.
you know, please show me the way. Yep. And that's where I really found so much of my healing began, when I brought in that spiritual faith again into my healing journey.
And do you feel that you ask, like, I'm on my knees physically and metaphorically, and you've asked for support. Do you feel like it was in the support that you knew the power existed, or the power came through with answers and then you're like, God is real? Because for me, I've gotten myself into some real sticking points where mm-hmm. I'm like, I've got no other option right now than to desperately, from the depths of my pain, ask for help. I don't know who the fuck I'm asking for help yeah. from, but someone. And something has come through where I'm like, what just happened? Like, someone answered my question. Like, I begged for help and help has come. And this is almost miraculous. And I feel like that for me was evidence that this power outside of me, if I was to truly connect with it, it does exist and it comes through with support. I feel like multiple moments of that, not consistently, frequently. I've asked for help before and God's been like, bitch, you already sort know the answer. I'm like, please. And God's like, no, yeah. you already know, babe. Like, we're not coming through with that. But there's been other times where I feel like I've been desperate and in my pain and support has come through, where that for me has been the cultivation of my relationship with God.
Yeah. I feel like it's so multifaceted. You know, there are moments in my experience where literal miracles have landed in my life yes. and it's undeniable. It's like, yeah. that's from you.
Yeah.
That's God showing up and being like, hey girl, I got you. Look, it's undeniable. But then there are moments, like you said, where you have to be on your knees in the trenches and you're yes. praying, and your experience and your journey is to figure that out, or to mm-hmm. stand on your own two feet. Mm-hmm. So I think it's different for every single person and it's different in every chapter. But, you know, I ask for signs and stuff often. Like you mentioned the story I told you at dinner.
Would you like to tell yeah. it? I'm like, tell the frog story, because everyone will be like, what is she talking about? Because I would love women to listen and hear for themselves how they can start to create a deeper connection with themselves, with a power outside of them, with signs. Because right now I feel like a lot of women are kind of logicking their way through life
yeah.
and feeling frustrated that they keep hitting resistance or dead ends, and they're feeling like they're losing faith and certainty within themselves. And I would love for them to hear this and be like, wow, maybe there is another path than just the logical way forward that my Catholic high school told me I should walk.
Yeah, totally. So I was in Bali last August. Mm-hmm. My brother was getting married here and I came on my own. My husband Tristan was meant to come and his passport didn't have enough time on it. So he didn't end up coming, but we were talking on the phone a lot, and he had been talking to his friend who'd just been in Bali mm-hmm. and Tristan's never been to Bali. So he's talking to me about what he's heard and he's like, do you think we could live in Bali? Then I started viewing the trip through that lens of like, should we move here? I feel like so many people do this on holiday, right? Where yeah. you're like, could I live here? But I was sort of really feeling into that and I asked for some signs. I immediately saw these signs, but then I was like, dragonflies are everywhere, butterflies are everywhere. I need signier signs, right?
It's like, I would like to see a puppy dog in Bali. They're all over the street.
I would like to see the sun. So then I, you know, was saying some prayers and I said, okay, God, I'd like to see a green frog in the next like couple of hours if we should consider moving to Bali. And then probably like an hour later, I hear something on the window, like a smack, and there's this frog on the window. And it's just like looking at me, I'm looking at this frog and I'm like, is this the frog? Or am I just in an area where there's loads of frogs? So then I was like, okay.
I have not seen a frog in Bali. I'm just going to let you know that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I was like, I feel like maybe there's frogs everywhere. I don't really know. And so then I go, okay, God, I'm sorry to ask for another favor. I would love to see another green frog to confirm this. I'm going to be super specific in my request so that I know like 100% this is a sign. So I'm like, a green frog in the next 24 hours exactly in this window, make it so obvious, please, that I cannot deny that you're like giving me this confirmation. And literally the next morning, so within 24 hours, I'm opening the door to my room. It's like an outdoor entry. Something whacks me on the head. There's something in my hair. In my like long ass extensions, there's something stuck in there. And there's a frog in my hair. It's whacked me over the head. I don't know where it even came from, like maybe hidden up in the beams in the roof or something. And then it jumps off me and it's just on the window in front of me, just staring at me for ages. And normally they'll like jump away from you, right? They're quite like scared of humans.
Just, I don't know. I've never been around a frog.
And I'm just like, God, is that you? So I call my husband. I'm like, the frog has visited. I think we're moving to Bali.
And so here I am. Yeah. And so for any woman listening to that and who's like, bullshit, Amy, what would you say to her?
I mean, I don't blame you. When it happened, I remember thinking, this is amazing, but like, this sounds so unreal, you know? But supernatural shit happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
It really does. But I feel like I'm really open to those messages. And so I think when you're more closed or you're really only ever relying on logical evidence in your life and rational thinking, of course that stuff doesn't sound believable.
Yeah.
And also you won't be experiencing it, right? Because you have your own bias towards like only rational things occurring.
Yeah.
So I think when you open your heart to miracles, which is actually the word that I chose for 2024, you'll see more of them. You'll experience more of them. And some people will say that's the placebo effect, but who cares? Supernatural magic shit is still happening, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
It's funny that you say that. One of my clients the other day was like, do you think that you've just taken this optimistic mindset and you're just like making the best of a bad situation and there's a part of you that doesn't truly believe it? I'm like, if the placebo pill works, I'm all good. Like, I don't care. I don't need science to prove shit. If I feel good, I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
And so for any woman that's listening right now that could be cynical or skeptical, but also curious, like she's listening, she's like, bullshit, Amy. And yet I'm hearing you, I am closed. And I literally honor you and like love that you get to have that experience. I don't think it's possible for me. I am very resistant to what you're saying. But if I was to be open to it, like how would I start to open my heart to the possibility of another way?
Just make it a game, right? Doesn't have to be really serious. It doesn't have to be like, okay, this is the right way of seeing things and experiencing things, and this is the way I'm going to put a pin in that, and that is how it is, right? It can just be like, why don't I just experiment, play a game? Me and Tristan play this game. It's like a manifesting game where we go, dear God, wouldn't it be fun if... da, 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 da. So like if we want something really cool to happen that we think is amazing but still in the realms of like possibility, we just play this game of wouldn't it be really fun if that happened? And so many times it happens, and him and his business partner now do it all the time in their business, and they tell everyone about it. And these are like rational men, you know, and they're playing this little manifesting prayer game with God that I told them about. And you know, it doesn't really matter, like, you know, do you believe it or do you not believe it? Just play a game and see what happens, and then maybe you do believe it.
Dear God, wouldn't it be fun if Matt Rife gave me VIP front row tickets to his Seattle May 11 show, plus a meet and greet and a 4 p.m. 30-minute podcast in-person session with him?
That would be fun.
That would be so fun. A lot of my audience has told me that there is an American resale site where you can buy tickets. So I found first and second row seats. So I'm like, bro, if God doesn't think it's fun, I'll still make it fun. And I'll be there like, hi, Matt Rife.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be fun if he brings you, you know, he does all the crowd work?
Yes.
Because he's seen all your stories, right? Wouldn't it be fun if he brought you into the act?
It would be really fun. Wouldn't it be fun if he roasted me for having herpes and it goes viral?
That would be so fun.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't it be fun if, like, you created this massive, massive global movement as a result of that?
That would be really fun. So and fun. Even more fun if my husband was sitting next to me in the seat and I was like, hey.
That would be fun.
That would be so fun.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. So I hope everyone, this will probably launch afterwards and it'll be so much fun having that had all happen. And the cynics will be like, all right, I'm going to play this game too now.
Yeah, then they'll believe.
So for anyone listening that is like, okay, well, I mean, what's the difference between God and your intuition?
Well, I think for everyone, the definition of God is their own definition. Mm-hmm. So I can speak from my evolving definition.
Yes.
God to me is just like the energy, the source energy that creates everything,
mm-hmm.
right? So intuition is an experience or a sensation or a knowing within me. I'm part of the universe and the world and there's God in me. So it's maybe just an expression mm-hmm. of God.
Mm-hmm.
And people experience intuition in different ways, just like they experience God in different ways, mm-hmm. right? Some people hear a voice. Some people have a frog fall in their head mm-hmm. to confirm it. Some people just have like a knowing or they're in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there is God in everything. And so there is God in intuition, but it's just one of the crayons in the crayon box.
And would you say that's a very similar answer for the definition between God, intuition, and higher self?
I like to use the term favorite self.
Favorite self.
I didn't invent that. I've heard other people use that.
Oh, really? I've never heard it before.
Yeah, I've heard like a few different mentions of that on the internet. Yeah. So I didn't invent that. But I remember years ago when I heard it, I really sort of latched on and I was like, I really like that. Because I think sometimes in the spiritual and self-help community, it can almost create this hierarchy that people then use to further compare or berate themselves. They think, well, my higher self would never have this negative thought, or my higher self doesn't self-sabotage and I'm self-sabotaging. And so who am I? My lower self, right? And I just think anything that you use for your development, your spirituality, should be in service to your empowerment and to you coming back to compassion and self-love and knowing that you're not perfect and you're still worthy of love and you're still worthy to exist. And so I like favorite self because like we all have favorite preferences, right?
Yeah.
But it's not that that version of you is superior and therefore this version of you is inferior.
Mm, I love that. And for you, have you always been able to easily access compassion for yourself?
No, that's like a really hard one for me that I've had to work at so, just so continuously, because for me, being perfect is my protection mechanism. Mm-hmm. And it comes from a deep wound that I have, which is that I'm bad and that I shouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
In rebirthing breathwork, which is one of the modalities that I really love, we are trying to get down to what we call the personal lie, or in somatic parts work, it's sometimes known as the young burdened part of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the deepest, like wounded belief or experience inside of you. And mine is I'm bad and I shouldn't exist. So how I overcompensate is like, if I can be perfect, if I can be so good to everyone,
mm-hmm.
then I'll be safe. Then I won't have to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do inevitably make mistakes
mm-hmm.
and mess up, or I'm human, I really have to work at like, okay, self-compassion,
mm-hmm.
self-compassion. Mm-hmm. What do we do in these moments where we don't want to give ourselves that? And how do I like embody the things that I teach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was life like for you when you knew that compassion was the way forward, but it didn't feel accessible yet?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've had so many pivotal moments like that. Like one of my key moments, I think, of finding self-compassion was like the beginning of my healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 22, I ended up in therapy for PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very uncomfortable for me to sit in front of that therapist and like cry in front of her. I just remember wanting to crawl out of my skin.
Yeah.
But I really came away from those initial therapy sessions and that part of my journey understanding like, how can I start to respect myself? How can I start to like give myself the same empathy that I so generously give to other people instead of holding myself to these standards? And so one of the first self-development things I ever remember doing was I would ask myself this question, what would I do if I loved myself?
Mm-hmm.
Down to like what I would eat, how I would move in the gym.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes that meant like compassion in the form of like not working out 3 times a day
yeah.
and actually instead reading a book, going for a walk, and like writing out some lovely affirmations instead of like punishing myself. So I think that's still a really good question to ask.
What would I do if I love myself? Like, that would be a starting point, because a lot of women who do come to my world, they are high performers or perfectionists, and they're finding compassion for others is very easily accessible. But for themselves, there's a lot of resistance.
Yeah, definitely. I think also, like, something that I notice with myself, and my husband is really great at reflecting this back to me, I am much like harder on myself by default than I would be on other people.
Yes.
I hold myself to a higher standard.
Yes.
I'm like, it's okay for you to have that standard down there, but for me, I'm like up here.
Yes.
So of course I like make mistakes, or where I'm particularly hard on myself is if I make mistakes with my work, because I really like also deeply care about my work. I deeply care about my clients, and I never want to make anyone feel bad about themselves, because my values and my mission is like, how can I make everyone feel amazing about themselves? Yeah. But of course, unintentionally, from time to time, I might like activate a response in someone, or I might like mess up and have to repair. And so something that Tristan reflects back to me is like, I need to like bring that bar down in terms of the impossible standards that I set for myself. Yeah. And he'll remind me, like, if I made this mistake as in him, what would you say to me? What would you say if your client was going through the same thing? And I think that helps me to quickly go like, oh yeah, I would not say these cruel things to someone else. So maybe for someone listening who struggles with that, think about someone that you just think is a bee's knees, like your best mate or your mom, or you know, some of you have kids, your child. If they fucked up, would you say those things to them, and start to think about like, how would you speak to them? And can you give some of that same love or that same understanding to yourself?
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, it's kind of a theme for a lot of women sharing with me right now, not being willing to forgive past mistakes they've made, knowing that right now in, you know, May 2024, when this episode launches, after I've been front row at Matt Rife and all the things, that version of them would have not chosen what they chose back then. And they're classing it as, and I'm doing air quotes right now, a mistake, and like a big, huge, monumental, pivotal mistake that's really shaken the ground that they were standing on and impacted their life, what they feel is forevermore. And they're just so mad, so mad with a past version of them, and they're not willing to let it go, and they're just gripped on so tight. How would you suggest that that woman could approach that when she's just like, I just don't forgive myself, though I shouldn't have made that choice?
I so get that. Yeah. Like, some of the stuff that I have done in my life, like, it's unrecognizable to the kind of woman that I am now and how I carry myself. So the first thing that comes to mind that I would recommend is moving to separate like what you've done into the category of guilt rather than the category of shame. Because usually, like, when we can't let that go and we feel so terrible about that action, we're coming from this like deep shame. Right? Because shame is like, I am bad. Like, my belief, I am bad and shouldn't exist. But if you can just maybe orient it to guilt, where guilt is like, I did something bad. I think you can work with that a little bit more flexibly. You can say, I did something bad and I'm still inherently good. How can I celebrate some of the good things that I learned from that mistake? And one of these quotes that I really, really love is, if you went back and erased your mistakes, you would erase yourself. And I don't want to erase myself. And I'm sure no matter how bad someone feels, like, you have redeeming qualities, you have good things about you. No one is inherently 100% bad. And so you don't want to erase all the good things and the amazing parts of who you are just because you fucked up a few times. Everyone has. You're comparing your fuck ups to what looks like a clean slate on someone else or a perfect slate on someone else, but they're just not advertising their own moments of shame and guilt and shenanigans from the past.
I love that saying, and it reminds me, I know we first connected years ago and I was on your podcast over the herpes virus. And we really resonate around that sexual healing piece. And when I did my very first ayahuasca journey, it was like God in ayahuasca gave me the timeline of my life and then a scalpel and got me to cut out all the moments that I was at war with and take them out. It was like, they never happened. And like literally I was like, the herpes one was like number one. I want that gone and out, and I never wanted that to happen to me. And if I could just take it out and then life wouldn't be like this. And I'm in this ayahuasca experience and I've pulled out all the air quotes bad moments. And then literally I'm like, no, put them back. Put them back, put them back. And I hadn't ever had that word come out of my mouth. And in the sharing circle the next morning, I got to share, it literally got taken away from my life. And I told God or ayahuasca or whoever it was, and I can't really remember my language, like, put it back in. You can't take that away from me.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of empathy for women who do feel that way, because I know I felt that way for so long as well. I just thought, I'm so fucked up. Like, I've had so many dishonest moments. You know, I've really struggled with other people betraying me, but if I'm really honest, in the past, I've also like betrayed people, you know? And I think when you sit in that shame and you think that there's no redemption for you, there's nothing you can do to like actually pull yourself out of that and do better. Yeah. I think becoming a better person and becoming more in love with yourself and owning who you are is about taking the things that you've been through, including your mistakes, yeah, including the pain that you might have caused other people, yeah, and learning from it, taking something that is horrific and turning it into something that can be beautiful, yeah, and inspiring. That's all we can do, because we can't change a past, mm-hmm, but we can decide like, what seeds do I want to plant, mm-hmm, from this shit show?
How have you recreated relationship and trusting relationship with A, your husband, mm-hmm, and B, women, after being betrayed so painfully in your past?
I mean, I did a lot of therapy. I also worked in therapy on my daddy issues, yes, and my pain and past with men, mm-hmm, and the patterns. And I was looking at taking responsibility for like the part I had played in those dynamics.
Yeah.
It's really easy to look around and be like, men can't be trusted. I mean, I had every reason to not trust men. Yes. I mean, I grew up in an environment with an abusive stepfather for many years. I was molested when I was a girl. I had boyfriends betray me. Like, I had every reason to not trust men, mm-hmm, but I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so I had to look at, like, what's my part in some of these dynamics, yes, not how am I to blame for these awful things that have happened to me, yes, but how can I take responsibility for the things I have control over, yes, rather than like, what am I attracting? It's like, what am I choosing? Yes. What am I consenting to, yes, in these dynamics? And I also realized, like, if I want someone trustworthy, I have to also embody that. Where have I not been in integrity, yes, and fully honest? And so I sort of like started eventually dating with this in my back pocket, mm-hmm, and always like asking myself deeper questions and not just like jumping into things by default.
Yes.
Being curious. Yes. Why am I attracted to this person?
Yes.
Do I like the way they're treating me? Is this in alignment with the values and boundaries that I've become clear on?
Yes.
And then when I met my husband, he was the embodiment of all the things that I had written down. Mm. I still have the list in my phone and it's like a description of him.
Yeah.
So I think I felt very attracted to him, but I also felt very safe to, yeah, open up with him. And then he went through like a very intense time with my PTSD. Mm-hmm. When it came back via flashbacks, we were about 6 months into dating when this happened and he was very supportive. So I felt very safe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love that. What was your first date like?
I accidentally matched with him on a dating app.
I think he told me it was Bumble.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, I don't remember matching with this person. Like, I don't really like his photos. And I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
And I must have, in the DMs of this app, given my number, because I get this WhatsApp and I'm like, who is this person, yes, asking me on a date? I'm like zooming into the profile picture, like, I don't know who this is. But the way he asked was very polite. And I, yes, was kind of in this era of like, I'm just going to go on dates with like English hotties. I just moved to London and I was like, yeah, he's really seems really polite. Why not? I'll go.
Yeah.
And so I went just without any expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, to be honest, I didn't even fully recognize him when he walked in the door because, like I said, I was like very...
He's a hottie and his photos were not great.
Yeah. I feel like men's photos always under-deliver. Yeah. They're over-serving in real life. But it was just like this really nice date. Like, I felt an attraction. We had good conversation. I wasn't jumping out of my skin to like want to fuck him over the table or anything.
Yes.
But I remember in my mind at the end of the date when I was like going home, I thought if he asked me out again, I'd definitely say yes.
Yeah.
And he asked me out in his taxi on the way home.
Oh, I love him already.
Yeah.
I've never met him. I can't wait to. And so for the woman listening, because you know how they go on these first dates?
Yeah.
And it's not fireworks, want to jump over the table and fuck the shit out of you. So they're like, nah, it's not him.
Yeah.
What kind of guidance would you, because I remember this story from our dinner and I love it. I'm like, oh, that feels so so good, so relaxed, so not intense, but like I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
Yeah.
What would you say to that woman that's like, no, I need it to be fireworks date one, or I'm just like not exploring date two?
Yeah, I think it's nuanced, isn't it? Because my template for love might not be the right template for someone else, right?
Yeah.
It's like my truth isn't the truth.
Yeah.
And I think there is a balance between wanting to have chemistry versus just settling for something because it's really safe and then just staying with someone who's a good man but isn't like the man for you.
Stop I know you know my last relationship.
Yeah,
Amy.
I'm like,
the whole podcast is over it.
And we're all trying to navigate the situation and like look at our situation and go, am I on either end of this spectrum? Like, am I thinking this through right? Am I seeing things clearly? Yeah. Is this correct? So I think there's no like clear cut and dry truth. But what I would say is that if you have a type and you have a type of dynamic that you typically go for and it's repetitively not working out for you, maybe be curious about not writing someone off from the beginning just because it feels or looks different to your normal way of doing things.
Yes.
And that was very much the mindset that I was in when I went on this date, when I met Tristan.
Yes.
And what I found is after about like date three, I really started feeling the chemistry kicking in. Mm. And I remember about like 8 weeks into knowing him, I said to my mom, I think I might marry this man, right? And we were married like a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't that initial fireworks.
Yes.
It was just like, yeah, I really like this guy. What a nice energy.
I love that so much. And I love the reference of like, we all have a different blueprint. And I find the internet and Instagram can be so confusing when it comes to relationships. Even for myself, they're like, if it's healthy love, then it won't be fireworks. If it's healthy love, it won't be your one night stand sex. And I'm like, then it gets so confusing to be able to actually come back to your own truth and be like, actually, healthy love can still be fireworks, but maybe it's not from day one.
Yeah, totally.
And it still could be.
So like if you look at a relationship, right, chemistry is one aspect.
Yes.
You know, there's also shared values. There's also commonalities in the way that you think.
Yes.
Intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, there's compatibility. Yes. Chemistry is one aspect, right? But if all your relationships are only built on chemistry, a lot of the time those relationships won't last forever. If that is your desire, not everyone wants a relationship that goes on forever.
Yes.
But if that is, which for a lot of women that is the desire, there's going to be moments in long-term relationships where chemistry is maybe not going to be like your ultimate priority.
Yes.
If you're navigating a really intense time, the death of a loved one or trauma or like having kids, like if your relationship is only built on chemistry and that chemistry goes down, then there's not going to be anything left. So I think I would say like if there's anything that's like close to the way, it's looking at, are you noticing that you have all of these shared things that are important to you? So there's some chemistry, there's some shared values, some shared preferences. What are your non-negotiables, right? Yes. And maybe one of your non-negotiables is chemistry, but it's probably not the only thing on the non-negotiables list.
Mm, I love that. I bloody meant to that. Yeah. So I've loved where this conversation has gone today, and I want to full circle all the way back around to God and us both going to Catholic private schools in Perth. There is a saying in one of the prayers that says, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. Mm. And when I hear it in church, if I have to go to like a cousin's christening or any one of their religious things that they do, my mum will look at me and be like, shut up, Rebecca. I'll be like, I cannot believe as little girls, they were telling us to say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive. And my mum will be like, Rebecca, be quiet. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, in some religious circles, you know, it's like a flex to be a God-fearing woman, right? Some people aspire to that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't resonate for me because in my personal definition and relationship with God, it's like my God wouldn't have me fear. My God would have me come into like deeper love. That would be the frequency that we're aiming for. Yes. I think something that really like changed my brain chemistry was when I read this book, The Revealing of Mary Magdalene. Have you read that?
No, I haven't.
It's a very interesting book that I recommend to a lot of women. Okay. In a nutshell, it is Mary Magdalene's version of events of what happened. It's basically like a feminist Bible. It shows you the way that women were involved, and there's different takes on things like the seven sins, and there's sort of, in my opinion, much more beautiful definitions. It's more like seven human experiences that bring you closer to yourself and to God and self-love.
Yeah.
So for me personally, I think of being in relationship with God as like being in deeper relationship with love.
Yes.
Not fear.
Yes.
And knowing that you're worthy.
Yes.
Not having to like ask for it from Sky Daddy, the Heavenly Father.
Amy, I have loved having you here in person with me in Bali. And thanks. Now that I'm doing this whole bring my favorite guests back frequently, you're now like a raw, real and vulnerable resident. Between now and the next time that we speak to you, what is something that, you know, if you're going to have fun with God, what is something that's going to be happening in your world that you're so excited for that you'll be telling us all about?
I have been working on a new signature program behind the scenes.
Ooh.
I don't know how much I'm ready to share, and I don't know when it's going to come out because this is also how I run my business. Yes. Like God tells me, go.
Yes.
It's written on my hand, Godspeed.
God like tells me, flag, go.
It's time to go. So I'm waiting for like the urge, the impulse, the message to come through. But I'm really excited to be able to speak more about it soon, at the very least, because this feels like my new signature body of work.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
And is Bali for good or Bali is for now?
I never say things are forever anymore, definites anymore, because I thought I would live in Mallorca forever.
Yeah.
And now I'm here and I didn't think I'd ever get any tattoos, and then I got 15 tattoos. Yeah. And so I don't know. I'm all about never putting yourself in a box. And so I don't know if Bali is forever or how long, really.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I love that. And if any woman was looking at you being like, you're beautiful, you have this incredible husband, business, freedom, lifestyle, and I want to dip my toe into being more expressed, but I just don't know where to start. What words of wisdom would you impart on her right now?
Well, just like follow me and you on social media, because we'll probably just be like doing something ridiculous. And then you'll realize like, oh, this thing that I want to do is like, of course, it's like normal to people. I think hanging around, being in spaces or like consuming content or books or resources of people who expand you and whose light reminds you like, oh, that's inside of me as well. Maybe I could let it out too. I think we all need lighthouses, you know. Yes. Find those lighthouses and let them normalize some of the next steps for you so they don't feel so edgy.
Oh, I love that. Well, Amy Rushworth, thank you for flying and living in Bali, because that makes Bali so much better for me, and your presence expands mine.
Yeah, your presence expands mine. I was saying to my sister-in-law, she's like, whose podcast are you going on? I'm like, think of like what I do, but like even more unapologetic. Like, that's better. She's like, oh, cool.
She's like, okay, so you two are both fucking crazy? We're like, yes, we are.
Yeah, but she loves that, you know.
That's amazing. If anyone from my world wants to get all the way up into yours, where do we find you?
Instagram. So this is Amy Rushworth or amyrushworth.com or the Amy Rushworth Show podcast.
Mm. Amazing. Thank you so much for being here with
us. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.